John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. I'm being led into an unorthodox way of ministering nowadays. Eh? So that means if you're used to me ministering a particular way, you should just allow this for a season. Eh? The Lord has allowed me to break down things into the language of people so that you can understand it, eat it easier and swallow. Eh? Yes. Praise the Lord. Instead of me bringing something deep and you're like, eh, that was deep, but I don't get it. Eh? Praise the living God. Yes. So last week, the Lord did teach us about aspects of destiny and calling. Eh? And I touched on different aspects that had to do with people in the world. Eh? And I remember I read for us a scripture. Who remembers the scripture? A scripture that said, make friends with worldly wealth. Do you remember that scripture? Yes. Where is it? Who knows? Ha! Anyway, so last week I quoted a scripture that said, make friends with worldly wealth. And I was explaining what that scripture means. What Jesus meant was be acquainted with the world out there. You need to know how it operates in order to be efficient as a Christian. Because if you go in there without being aware of how the world operates, you have a disadvantage. Praise the Lord. So today, the Spirit of the Lord is continuing from that in a very strange way, because normally I don't continue. But we're going to continue from that. Okay. So 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, what this is telling us here is a principle. There is a principle in scripture that says, you do not yet know what you are. Now, I'm going to do something that even me, I'm not comfortable with at this moment, but I'm going to do it. Is there anyone who has had a dream in the past 2 weeks that needs interpretation? Oh my God, I'm asking. Put up your hand if you have it. Put up your hand. Okay, good. So these people, you people are not dreamers. Oh, you interpret your dreams, eh? Glory to God. Okay, let me pick. Come, get her mic. Come. I want to see how far I can go with this. Okay. You be on camera, eh? So that at least you get used to it, eh? You smile and wave, say hi, mommy. Okay. All right.
So I had two dreams. One was last week, Thursday night. I had a dream and I was pregnant. I could feel the weight of the pregnancy. And it was really heavy, and I consulted with a friend of mine that had just given birth, and she directed me where to go when it was time. She told me...
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
She told me, go there. So I went there. I met a lady. She told me, yeah, you'll give birth from here. It's for free. You'll get everything you need. So I woke up. I didn't mind. I was like, okay, maybe. Yeah.
When did you have this dream?
Last week on Thursday night.
Okay.
Then Friday night, after fellowship, I go home. I slept, and I dreamt when it was time for giving birth, and I was pacing around, and I was alone. Okay, I was with someone, and it's like I was trying to do it on my own. I was pushing and pushing, and nothing was coming out. I touched my stomach here, and I could feel a heartbeat. So I was confused. I was like, but I can feel the heart beating. Why isn't it coming out? So the person I was with told me, maybe you need help. Let's go and find help. So I woke up when I was going to get the help.
Okay. Has everyone had, you've had behind there? Okay. Who can interpret it? Deep people. And I am glad that you didn't put up your hands because you said you had interpreted your dreams. Eh? So deep people. Who can interpret this dream for her? And I'm glad that it's short. Eh? Okay, Rachel, come. Quick.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi, mommy.
All right. So this is what I think about the dream. Based on what Rabbi taught us last week on Friday, you seem to be in a season where your destiny is being shaped and it's ready. And so you feel the birth pangs, so to speak. And the last dream that you had on Friday, after Rabbi has preached about destiny and all, is telling you that your destiny helpers are on the way, because that's what you need for you to deliver the destiny that God has put upon your heart.
Give a hand clap. Okay, you can have a seat. Just stay, you're still here. Is there anyone with a different interpretation from that? Huh? Deep guys. There's no one else with a different interpretation? Yes? Okay, it doesn't have to be different. It can be deeper. Huh? Should we pray in tongues first? Okay.
It's not really different, but I felt there was an instruction in the first dream that there's a place where you have to go and everything shall be materialized, but you're doing it on your own and it's not happening, you see? But there's someone who you have to connect to. So when you get there, like, it will flow effortlessly.
Clap for her. I'm teaching you well. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now I should have just come with the element of dreams. Eh, you guys are deep. But let me tell you what the dream actually means. And they are right. It's a mixture of both. The pregnancy means that in you is a seed of destiny. Most people, when they interpret a dream like that, they interpret it that a breakthrough is coming. Yes. But it differs based on the person who's having the dream. For her specifically, it's not referring to a breakthrough, it's referring to a seed of destiny. Amen. She's carrying it around. The dream has three stages, both dreams together. There are three stages. The first stage, can you hear me?
Yes.
The first stage is when she's pregnant. Okay, and what?
And as shown where to go, as shown someone to help me with that.
No, the first Thursday.
A friend of mine that just did that, there is a new where to go.
Okay, the first stage of the dream, this dream has to do with your purpose.
Yeah.
There's a seed of destiny inside of you, just like there is in all of us. And inside her, she can feel that it's nearby. The seed of destiny is looking for an environment where it can prosper.
Amen.
Now, I need you to understand this, that we sow, when we talk about seeds, we think they're just financial seeds. There are seeds of finance, there are seeds of time, there are different kinds of seeds, but very few people actually realize that you are a seed. And so you can sow yourself in an environment where you prosper. You're a seed. Now, every one of us has what we call a seed of destiny. It's interesting that this is the dream based on what I was about to minister. Okay. I want us to pray for her. There's a terminal sickness she has. Eh? Can you tell us what it is? And they've told you need money, right? How much? 250 million, but we want to heal.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Eh?
Amen.
She has a kidney disease. You can. I just want you to stretch your hands. Eh? I want us to believe on the power of being one. Eh? Touch where it is. Now, in the name of Jesus, as we are one, we speak to that disease. We command healing in the name of Jesus. We command healing, refreshing, wellness, strength in your body in the name of Jesus. Life flows through you in the name of Jesus. Lasete kerebos sondarabasi anama. Ruel sakaria nama cerebos. In the name of Jesus. Breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. One more time. Breathe in. Breathe out. Don't fear, eh? You won't die. You won't die. You can go and have your seat. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Now, I want you to understand that her dream has three stages. The first stage was a stage when she sensed destiny and she's looking. Now I'm talking about real life. She's looking for a way to make that destiny come to pass. Eh? And so she went to someone, a lady, for help. Now, first come. First come. I want to show you that I'm not guessing. Eh? Okay? So, you know why that dream of you being pregnant does not imply a breakthrough has yet come? Because in terms of your calling, you haven't yet begun. Okay? What that dream means is that there is a seed of destiny in you, and you can sense that there is more to your life than what is now. And so in order to make it come to pass, in order to try to work things out, based on a prophecy you received, you sought help towards destiny. Huh? And that help was to fly out of the country. No, wait. I want you to, because you know, eh? You know what I'm talking about. Yes? Yeah. Put on the microphone, yes. Yeah. Where did you want to go? Okay. So the first stage is that you sought help. That dream is showing you the past. On Friday, the dream is showing you present and future. Now, can I continue? No. So the first stage, you sought for help. Things did not work out. The next stage, you try to do it on your own. Now, I want you to understand. Eh? You try to do it on your own. So you are like, these things of trying to look for help have failed. Stage one has failed. Nange kanchikole. So you went online? Yes? So you're trying to give birth on your own. Destiny is pushing you, but you can't do it on your own. So the last stage, which is where we're at now, yeah? The future stage. Someone comes and tells you, seek help. Help has come. Okay. So when fellowship is ending, just you remind me, just go and have a seat. Now, I want you to understand something, yeah? I wish you could pick some more dreams, eh? But we will, yeah? I want you to understand something. When I was unable in the past to understand what God had planned for me, that lack of knowledge and understanding allowed people around me to decide my destiny for me. Now, I want you to understand something. So, my father at the time decided that I should do economics. Not because I loved it, but because I was unaware of what God had put in me and what I wanted to do. And many of you are like that. Just like Elisha, who's on a plow. And I know deep inside of him, even if the Bible doesn't say it, he knows that there's got to be more than just farming. And just when he's plowing, all of a sudden a prophet comes, puts on him, and he realizes, I am called to be something greater. Many of you are in that situation where you're doing something, and I'm going to talk on to different categories. You're doing something where inside of you, you feel you're efficient in it, but destiny does not appeal to it. So you're good at it, but it's not it. It's not the thing. Praise the Lord. And so just like Elisha, you can be doing something until finally something greater comes around you and you realize it and you drop this one and go to the next one. There are seeds of destiny inside of every one of us. We can feel it. We can feel we're being drawn somewhere. But that seed inside of us needs an interpretation. It needs to be interpreted. Just like the dream that we've had here needed interpretation. So sometimes you can feel, and many of us, I'm sure most of us know, that you're greater than where you are. You know it, you feel it, you know it. I meet people all the time. The other day I met a lady, and she was telling me, Rabbi, I'm going to be a millionaire before the year ends. Watch me, Rabbi, watch me. And you see, let me keep quiet there. Because she's saying it, and she believes it. But what I need you to understand is, let me ask you a question. Is it possible for God to take someone from zero to a billionaire? Is it possible? Is it possible for God to get someone from being unknown to becoming famous? It is. Now, as possible as it is, you need to understand that there are things around life that teach us. One of them is time. You might not want to hear this, but process is important for your destiny. God can pick you, make you a billionaire, and lack of process can take you back. Okay, I've touched on some toes. And you say the same God who took me there can sustain you there. Yes, he can. But I want to point out a number of factors. Let me use an example. There are different categories of musicians. When a person learns to play the keyboard, they have an initial stage where they're learning. It's a rehearsal stage. All of us have a rehearsal stage for our destiny. Every single one of us. The problem is that people hate rehearsal. You want to jump and be to the end as fast as possible. And so when someone is learning to play keyboard, it is possible for God supernaturally to make them and give them the ability to learn the keyboard. Supernaturally. However, when they stand next to someone who has got process, what will happen is that both of them will be playing well. But the other one, because of process, can tell when the man of God wants you to pause. Can tell you now, this atmosphere needs this song. Because process has shaped it. It's not just about being a good player. Are you with me? My dad wanted me to be an economist because he was an economist. And so I went, suffered through economics. Ended up at a government organization. But inside me, I knew there had to be something more. One day, I was invited somewhere to a graduation party. And the MC was not around. So out of nothing, they sat down. Who can stand in? And they picked me. It was a family event. So I stood up and I MC'd. And my dad, sitting in the audience, saw something. He just didn't know how to interpret it. Okay, am I talking to someone? And so, next thing I knew, he flew out, came back with a book, different books, How to Be an MC. How to Make Money, Public Speaking. So he was sensing something, he just could not interpret it. And so because he was encouraging me,
I decided to go that route. Some of my family members are here, they know. So I MC'd, and I was a bloody good MC. Praise the Lord. And so at some point, I thought, this is the direction the Lord wants me to go. Now, I want you to know, if you're a parent, I want you to understand something, that it is important as a parent for you to recognize the seed that is in your child. Many of you, the reason why you're at the stage that you're at, totally clueless about where you should go next, is because your parents were unable to discern the seed that was inside of you. You were never supposed to be the one discerning it. You know that? Because in the Bible, people like Jacob would just pick a son and say, your name is this, you're going to be this. But you're born, they take you to school, and dad says, lawyers make a lot of money, and so you become a lawyer. You see, it would be okay to have a job, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt that as it's okay to get a job, it was never God's intention for all of us to be employed. Because God put in us a seed that would provide an answer that is unique for the world. Now, while you can be employed, it's not the intention of God for that to be it. Can we agree?
Yes.
I meet people all the time trying to apply to get a job, trying to apply for believing God for more salary, and we pray and believe. But in my heart, I'm thinking, oh, how you've thought so small. Because what is in you is bigger than you, the place you're being employed for. Praise the Lord. I'm a person, and I'm going to give a very brief sharing today. And then we'll bless a few people. I'm a person, I sleep late. Last night I slept at 5 a.m. By 7 I was awake. I'm not telling you to do that. Some of you are real sleepers. Yeah? I'm not telling you to do that. It's a culture that I've developed. I study things. I research a lot. I spend hours trying to find out how people in the world have succeeded and how we can help you to succeed. I spend hours. And so I've spent hours. I spent hours checking out different things. You know a lady called Billie Eilish? Some of you don't know. You only worship, eh? There's a singer called Billie Eilish, eh? A few years ago, she became famous. At 17, she was nominated for 4 Grammys. Billie Eilish, when you listen to her music, there is a spirit around it. And when you learn her story, you begin to learn that she went through depression, and that depression birthed the kind of music that she makes. Thousands upon millions listened to her music. She had 1 billion views for one song called, I think, Bad Guy. A billion views. Some of you put things on YouTube, eh? And I know how it feels. You watch the views, and you're believing God that just one more view will come up, or at least the like. Here's a person at 17 years old, has 1 billion views for just one song, Billie Eilish. And so I was looking through her, because I listened to a song that someone showed me, and I could sense a dark spirit around it. And I wanted to know, what is it that made this young lady at 17 years old conquer the world? I used to be a big lover of a lady called Enya. You know Enya?
Yes.
Some people are just like, now, what is this, eh? Enya is Irish in heritage. Now, I told you this is unorthodox, eh? Enya is Irish in heritage. For those who don't know Enya, eh? Enya sang some amazing songs. She's always chanting in her songs, eh? Na, 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 na. Yeah, whatever, eh? So Enya was someone that I loved a lot because her music carried me into the spirit. In fact, when I checked her out, she said that the aim of her singing was to astral project you into another world. Now notice, when people make music of that world, they have a goal. Meanwhile, a Christian will make music and put it together and say, Christians should buy. That's not a goal. Christians buying is not a goal. Even praising Jesus, is not a goal, because everyone, it has to be something that drives you towards an end. Enya's music used to dumbfound me. And the reason why it stands out is because she went all the way back to Irish folk songs. She sings in her local tongue, and the world says, huh, even though they don't understand what she's saying. Meanwhile, you're here in Uganda, and the song that you want to sing must be in English. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because someone has lied to you that English songs are the ones. No, you add spirit to something. I told you I pay attention. The other day, let me touch another area. The other day, I was with some people and someone mentioned a lady who initially I did not know, Lucy Smiles. Okay. Ladies, you know Lucy Smiles, eh? Okay, some ladies don't know. Gentlemen, you're like, who is that? You go, eh? Lucy Smiles is an influencer. And I asked myself, what is it that made this Ugandan lady have this level of influence? So I searched for her story. I'm keen with stories because I don't believe anyone just gets to the top. I don't believe it. And so I noticed that far back, she gave her story of how she always believed that deep inside of her, she wanted to be an actor, actress. All right? And there were many things that parents can throw you into, but she insisted in her heart that she has to be an actress. Destiny was pulling. And so this is what I was telling you last week, that when something inside of you is burning, it must be followed by action. Because one of my biggest worries is this. We as men of God will come and say, you're blessed, you rise, and you say amen. But not everyone rises. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Only one person, two people, three people come up with a testimony. Why doesn't everyone? If it was just about releasing blessing, why doesn't everyone rise? Those are the questions that I ask. This is what keeps me awake at night. Okay? Why? And the reason, one of the reasons, because there are many different people in different situations, but one of the reasons why is because when a word is released, you must allow destiny to draw you, and with it, you must add action. There is no one who just sits where they are and sees themselves at the top of a mountain. Impossible. Jesus, everyone that Jesus picked, he found them doing something. He finds Peter fishing. Matthew is a tax collector. There's no one chilling around. You understand? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That means that, you know, I have people come to me and say, Rabbi, I want to see Jesus. I say, be busy. Because the other guys were busy and had an encounter. It's different from a person who's just. And you see, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in a cycle consistently asking for prophecy. Consistently. And the prophecies, you don't see it. They just pile. They pile. You will get into heaven and see how many prophecies you had. Guys will just come and say, Orimunene. Things you could have been, but something was not backing it. I like to watch specific. Last week I mentioned that I have a deep desire inside of me to start writing. Okay? So the Lord has told me I have to write a book. But in order to write one, I've been spending nights trying to find out how other people succeeded in this thing. Because remember the scripture that I gave you said, make friends with worldly wealth. Be acquainted to what's happening there. So you can know how to defeat and overcome. And so I came across people that some people introduced to me to. Jennifer Nansuga Makumbi. And I was listening to her story, and she had a goal. Her goal was simple. She's an African writer, by the way. Okay? A famous one, for those of you who don't read books. Now, nowadays books, I'm looking at people, iPad. But actual books, I'm talking about books. She's a famous African Ugandan writer. And her story is simple. I had a goal. I realized that people in Africa, I mean people in the West, only know Africa as one country. So when I'm writing, I introduce the different cultures and understanding of the African culture. She had a goal. Meanwhile, for you when you're writing a book, you're trying to copy Jeffrey Archer. Is that the name? And John Grisham. Because you believe there's no authenticity. May God forgive you. Be authentic. Seek inside of you and see yourself bigger than that. Know that there's no one who can duplicate you. You're meant to start something authentic. The other day I was looking through fashion. I told you, I look through these things not because I'm called to them, but for you. Because I'm tired of people coming to me and they say, Rabbi, I'm called to fashion. How do I begin? And I thought it wise I should have some knowledge of the industry to advise spiritually. Not so? And so you're the ones who keep me awake. May God forgive you. Okay? So I started to study African women who had been famous, who had grown famous in this fashion thing. Eh? And I came across, can you imagine, I've gone as far as checking out chefs. African chefs. Who's a chef here? Ah, she's a chef. Do you know a man called, he's a South African called Jan Hendrik. Do you know him? Okay, now I'm telling you. Jan Hendrik has won what they call a Michelin star. You know a Michelin star? Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, a Michelin star is a star a restaurant gets when it's the best restaurant in the city or something like that. Eh? And it takes you to the next level. He's the first African to be so. 2016. I stand to be corrected. How I know that for another day, but my desire is to help you. Now you see, as diligent as I am in your places, you should be as diligent in yours. I'm spending nights I could be doing other things. Honestly. Nights I could be doing other things. And so I've come to realize the scripture that we read, 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. I've realized I've only read one scripture. Quick. 1 John 3 verse 2. Quick. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Most of us are in that stage. Now you're this, but it doesn't yet appear what you shall be. Because you don't yet know, you can't yet interpret. God has not yet revealed to you in fullness what you shall be. So what happens is you wonder. And the worst thing a person can do, let me tell you, child of God, is to be a start-stop person. You start something, you stop. You start something, you stop. You start something, you stop. Because you expect it to yield fruit very quickly. And like I said, process matters. Even if you're doing something that you're not called to and you're not sure about it, it will lead you to something. I was a very good dancer. I know you don't believe it. I know you need faith to believe it. There are YouTube videos. I will not tell you where they are. I know you guys, you children of God. Eh? There are YouTube videos when I'm banging some serious moves. Eh? But I realized at that point, I thought that was the place that the Lord wanted me to be. But it was just a stepping stone. I allowed myself to make mistakes. Many of you don't want to make mistakes. And the worst, the negative side of prophecy, especially if you have access to someone, is that you constantly want to check in because you can. Constantly. So you send a message, you say, Rabbi, so I'm going to apply for this. Should I? You apply. If they deny you, lesson learned. Apply again. Are you with me? Rabbi, I'm going to get on a plane to go to Canada. You go. If the Lord indeed wants to stop you from going, and you're in a prophetic ministry like this one, I will call you out. And I will say, you want to go? This is not the time. Have faith that God sees. Now, every single moment, you're filling my inbox at midnight, 1 a.m. Man of God, are you awake? I come close to saying, get behind me, Satan. Praise the Lord. So I've learned the art of allowing destiny, which is a seed, to draw me. I want you to understand three things that are vital. Number one, you must learn to honor yourself. Number one, learn to honor yourself. How do you honor yourself? The first way to honor yourself is to realize that inside of you, there is something that you want. Now, please understand, I could go around and ask people, what do you want? And they will confuse it with what they need. I'm telling you, if I went around here, it's just that now I've told you. But I would go around and say, what do you want? And some people will confuse it with what they need. The question is, what do you want? The question after that is, how badly do you want it? What are you willing to do for it? I want you to understand that in honoring yourself, you need to realize that you evolve. There is a difference between a title a person gives you and who you are. There is a difference. For example, there was a certain stage in my life where people referred to me as MC. Okay? It was a title given to me. If I allowed the title to be it would become a prison. But I had to know that I'm bigger than just MC. Rabbi is just a title. Who I am is much bigger than just the title Rabbi. Just like prophet is a title, who you are is much bigger than prophet title. And so when I opened up to the fact that I can evolve, that God can show me things about myself that I never knew were there, when I open myself up, I begin to realize, hold on, I can teach through media. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. I know some of you wanted deep, deep things, but these are simple but deep. I can teach through media. So hold on, I can teach through a book. Hold on, one day I can hold a conference. And so the scripture says in Matthew 25 that there was a man, a master. He gave talents. 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and he gave 10 to one, I think. And each of them, when he came back, had different results. The other two had yielded 100%. In other words, with the talent that they were given, they yielded 100%. One decided to sit on it. And when they sat on it, the little that he had was taken away and given to someone else. The understanding is this, that inside each one of us are gifts that you know and gifts that you don't know. And just like she had a dream, which, by the way, is perfect for today's session, what she had, the dream that she had, there's a seed of destiny. She knows she's more than what she is now, but she can't yet interpret what it is, because you can go to Canada, and then what? Are you with me? And so, when she gets into specific environments, birthing is easy. Because I can assure you, certain atmospheres are like soil. I can assure you. I have surrounded myself with visionaries. I love people who are not myopic. When I say, the Lord has told me we're supposed to build an app, I don't need someone to ask, how shall it be? I need someone to say, give us a few days. We'll figure out how to do it. When I say that in the next few years, the Lord has shown me 10 years from now what I'm supposed to do, should he tarry? There is no one here, inside there, who does not feel that they are more than what they are right now. But you see, your inability to see beyond your nose is inevitably going to create frustration. Because you will never know. The word destiny means comes from destination. You will never know. Do you know that once you have a vision of where you're going, it's easy to know what you don't need? Are you with me? But when you have no vision, you don't know what you don't need. So anyone can be your friend. Some people don't realize, eh? Anyway, let me leave it. But men of God are going to eat me up. A prophetic man of God can see prophetically when you're someone who's going to be relevant. And that's why sometimes some men of God find it easy to give some people their number and others not. It's not because the other person is irrelevant, but it's because they have not yet discovered who they are. And if they don't know who they are, it's more work for me. Because that kind of person is the person who, man of God, someone gave me your number. Some of you know, you're like, give me your number. I don't know if you're awake. I hope you see this in the morning. Then I re-check it and blue tick it so that you can know that I have seen it. Then you send another message. Man of God, I don't know if you saw the message above. Kakana. Relax. I need you to understand that we are in very urgent times. This stuff of Christians just, you know, you come, you raise your hands, you go back. You come, you raise your hands, you pray, you go back. I need you to understand that there's an urgency. An urgency. Even if God has called you to be president, there is a path to it. And that path must be walked. It can't be sat. I'm telling you, at least you're somewhere. You know, when I look online, there's some people that I know who started something. Someone I know who started, there are a few people here that I know. I've encouraged, I've told them, please go start something. Actually, the people who usually don't have anything they've started are people who are working. Because they've nurtured themselves to believe that this is all there is. May God open your eyes. Employment is not the only channel for you. You're there for a reason, but there's a place, there's another gift you have. I was listening to a story by the man of God, T.D. Jakes, sometime, years back, and he said something profound. He said, I wanted to know his story. I love to know the stories of people. I want to know where the Spirit of the Lord has played a role or where a demon. Because trust me, demons play roles. Eh? And so I listened to his story, and he said, someone asked him, how did you get to where you are? And he traced it back. He said, I wrote a book called Woman Thou Art Loosed. And he said, I met Tyler Perry, who was also broke at the time. And so we decided to turn it into a play. Now our aim was just to turn it into a play. When they turned it into a play, they were traveling all over the cities, different cities in the US. And they came to a particular city, and there was a movie producer in the audience. And he stopped to say something. This is years back. It stuck with me. He said, always do things to your very best, because you never know who's in. You never know who's in the audience. So he said, they did this play, it was fantastic. This movie producer walks up to him and says, we want to make this thing a movie. And he says, like most of you say, I don't have money. And the guy told him, don't worry about the money, we shall get it. Now you see different perspectives. There's a person out here whose vision is stalling because they don't have. And someone else is saying, let's make this thing a movie, we shall get the money. Then he said that this producer had access to Oprah, to Cedric the Entertainer, other guys, they contributed, and the thing moved to a screen. Now, here's my point. That changed the landscape of his ministry, because he said people started buying books. Now, the point he made was this. Sometimes we want to strategically move into things when we know, but most of the things we stumble into them when we've done something. I stumbled into ministry. You know that? I wasn't trying to enter. Trust me, who can willingly? Anyway, there are some people. But I wasn't trying to go into ministry. It wasn't my intention. They tricked me. I think I've told this story. They tricked me. There was a friend of mine, Antonio. He just set up a room somewhere and said, listen, I've invited people. Your job, just come and teach. So I thought, oh, maybe it's a one-off thing. So I went, taught. The next month, I got a message. We're back again. Come and teach. I'm like, what's going on here? They said, okay, let's make it a teaching class once a month. And that's what it was. Then he comes one day and says, can't we do this thing twice a month? And so I was like, twice a month. And this is when I was working. Until 2017, the Lord says, shift to Silver Springs. This is a ministry. Now I was already inside. It was hard to get out. So I need you to understand that most of the things that you want to get to, you will stumble into them. You don't figure out everything. Not everything is figured out. And you see, this is how people's testimonies. Just talk to anyone who has made it at some stage in life. They were busy trying to make their work, their thing work together. Their wife shows up. While they're there trying to do this, they get a big deal. You can't figure out everything. There's something about being in the right place. So the first thing is honor yourself. The second is honor where you are. Honoring where you are means that if I'm here right now, God has put enough things around me in this moment for me to thrive in this moment. So I might not have money, I might not have many friends, but the thing that I'm doing, I will do it to the best of my ability. Because that day that I'm provided a platform, I won't know who's in the audience. Are you getting me? Honor where you are. Because the story of the talents actually means that all of us have different starting places. And so success is measured differently. You cannot measure success based on someone else. Because they did not start where you are. There are people here who are born in rich families and their parent died. Then they were broke. There are people born in broke families and then a step parent stepped in. Now they're rich. There are people who had no parents. Everyone starts from a different place, and so success is measured differently. Are you with me? The Bible says, do not compare one to another. That is foolishness. Foolishness. That's why in things like ministry, because all of us are called differently, you cannot say that Rabbi is successful because the ministry is like this and the other one is not successful. You do not know the pattern that God has created for him. I need you to understand what I'm saying. And I've made it very simple. I won't be this simple again. I won't be this simple again. Jeremiah 12 verse 5 says, if you have run with footmen and it has wearied you, how can you run with horses? In other words, if currently the state that you're in now, you can't even deal with the finances that God has brought to you miraculously, as small as they are, you can't be a good steward of them. How can you be a billionaire? No, you tell me. How can you be a billionaire with a God who gives money? And you are a poor steward with the little that you've been given. And it says, to him that has much, more shall. But to him that has little, even the little that he has, shall be taken away. What a funny scripture. And so honor where you are. When I'm staying up at night, I'm honoring where God has put me at this moment. Honoring it. Some people dishonor me in a very funny way, and they don't know they're doing it. I told someone I sat with yesterday that a person can come, find me, and I'm repeating what my spiritual father said. He finds you, she finds you somewhere. She doesn't regard anything you teach, doesn't regard your ministry, but just wants you to prophesy. And because of the kind of person that I am, I find it hard to say no, though I'm learning. I'm learning, because I know if I say that, some of you will, but I'm learning. I find it hard to say no. So even if I speak over the person, if they have not received me, they cannot receive my reward. That's the law. And that's why sometimes men of God can look like they're mean. But I can tell when you've seen me for me. And so you send me a message in the middle of the night. You don't know me. Then you give a list of credentials. I am a remnant of remnants. Some of you do that. I am a remnant of remnants. Because in your mind, qualification to meet your need is for you to be remnant. I want to clarify this. That qualification is for me to be received. I need you, and not just me, every anointing must first be received. And receiving, for lack of a better language, receiving does not mean you come here and sit. Receiving means that when you come to an anointing that is teaching, is a teaching anointing, the first thing that comes out of your mouth should not be, I want you to prophesy. It should be, I'm not understanding this. If you have time, man of God, can you explain it to me? Something inside of me begins to turn. And you see, it does that does not turn the prophet, but it turns the teacher. Are you with me? And so when we meet, I just add prophecy as bonus. Are you with me? There you've received me. I don't even know how you got here. Praise the Lord. Honor where you are. Lastly, honor those God has brought your way. Honor them. God will bring people. And let me tell you, not everyone that is brought your way is brought by God. When a person is nice, does not mean that they've been brought. And by the way, you'll be shocked. Even when a person is bad, does not mean the person is not brought by God. Honor the people that God has brought your way. The reason why I was saying process is extremely important is because if we took you and put you to a place, the only way you can be sustained in a place when God has randomly promoted you is if you have a mentor or someone who can make you navigate the mistakes. Otherwise, if you don't have such a person, you cannot stay where you are. I'm telling you. Because where you are needs teaching that comes as a result of experience. So if you're ever brought to a place, that's how promotions happen. You jump steps because there's someone you look to who said, watch out for this, watch out for this. I pity people who don't have people they look to. There's a billionaire called Strive Masiyiwa. You know him? He's the one, of Zuku, Now, Strive Masiyiwa, $1.5 billion. Lada sadagaraba sendereboshia. $1.5 billion. I listened to his story. He was ministering somewhere. And he said, they asked him, how did you get to where you are? He said, I had a vision, and my vision was Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. Take me there. Psalms 2, verse 8. Quick. My God, time can rush. What do you want? Name it. Nations as a present, continents as a prize. Now, he ran with this. Actually, give me the KJV. That one was perfect for today. Give me the KJV. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So he was in Zimbabwe. The Lord whispered to him that scripture, and he said, this scripture shall be my vision. And so what happened was, he said, if this scripture says the heathen are given to me as an inheritance, it can't be in Zimbabwe, because I'm Zimbabwean and I'm surrounded by Zimbabweans. So he moved to South Africa, went to Kenya, The scripture was his vision. When he had done Africa, he said, no, this is not enough. Moved abroad. Are you understanding? He had a vision that was driving him, and grace backs it. Naye, children of God, they don't have vision. Where there is no vision, people perish. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that there is nothing that is impossible on the face of this earth, as long as a child of God wants. Do you know that if you want to be a prophet, you can? You know that? You guys are joking. You can want it badly enough that the grace comes upon you and you're made one. Because there are different categories. There are those born, those called, those made. You can want to badly enough go out, start seeing into people's lives, and the grace comes back. That's how powerful a want is. That's why I said your wants need to be highly defined. What do you want? And you be specific. Specific. Then after being specific, be strategic. Strategic means you draw a plan, have a vision. By this time, I have to have done this. I wish I could give you a link, a peek into my mind, the things that keep me awake, the places that the Lord has shown me he wants me to go. That parable of the talents keeps me awake at night. I don't want to be that person who hid a talent. No, and it's not your portion. I said, Lord, if you have given me the gift, I know I'm not a singer. But is there an aspect of my message that can come through teaching, through singing? If he says no, then what else, Lord? What avenues can I use? I'm telling you this thing here. In this 2022, the pulpit is not the only place a person can minister. Jesus' definition of church was different from what we see today. Because our definition today is there are ushers, and then there are specific chairs, then there's a choir. None of that is in scripture. is in scripture. Now, the church has evolved, but you make those things extremely important and miss the true aspect of church. The unity aspect, being one. When I was looking at music at some point, I realized that there are people who have mastered the art of music so well that we call them professionals in their field. A person can play an instrument and you say, yeah, this guy is a professional. Then those who are higher than that, are people who are kings and queens in their fields. But then I looked at another category of music, and I realized that there's what they call classical music. Classical music doesn't say professional. Classical music has ranks. First you're a learner, you reach a point where you are virtuoso. Huh? They don't use that everywhere. Then maestro. That means a virtuoso is a person who has mastered their instrument so well that they've reached the peak. There is no further they can go. Mariva nene. A maestro is a person who not only knows an instrument, he knows how to put various instruments together and make them sound perfect. A maestro. Now, it's not just about instruments, about life. I'm telling you, you need to master your field. You need to master, I'm begging you, to be as serious as I am. When I watch a movie, I watch it strategically. The other day I was watching Sandman. And so I watched it. So, okay, some of you don't know, eh? Sandman is on Netflix. If you're a person who doesn't have Netflix, then please go to Gojira or wherever online, type in Sandman and watch it, eh? When I was watching Sandman, I thought to myself, if someone of the world can make something like this, and I can get the message from it, what can a person of the kingdom do? Imagine doing a series like that displays heaven. Meanwhile, you're not guessing. You've been there. And so you're describing the creatures there. And you know, when I watch these things, there's a movie called, is it a movie? Super Me? Ah, now you guys. So Rabbi spends time instead of praying for us, eh? He spends time watching things, eh? Yeah. I watch strategically. I watch strategically for you. For you. One day, you will realize that you were supposed to create a lineage. That you who seated here, there were people supposed to come after you. You were supposed to be the star that other stars bow to. But you refused to start. And starting is something, because we're having a podcast, and someone on the podcast said, but Rabbi, how do we start? I said, number nine, cameras are rolling. How do we start? And I explained that starting, if you try to define it, you can't define it because everyone has a different starting point. The element is, if I want to write a book, I make a plan for it. I make a plan for it, it must have a goal to it as a child of God. It can't just be a good... I'm now starting to think about if I can write a novel. I wonder, I'm very interested. Anyway, for another day. I want to sit with the writers and we see. But there are things that my heart is burning to do. And I know that once it's in my heart, it can be done. It can be done. There is no way all you're supposed to do is play keyboard. No way. You move from one church to another, one church to another, and the Lord blesses you. But at a certain point, and I'm just speaking to him as an example for all of us, at a certain point you get married, you get kids, and you're going to need more money to meet your wife's needs. And your children's needs. Huh? I remember when my wife had just given birth, the baby was pooing in the pampers like they were free. You just put on a new one, prah, and like, no, come on, seriously. This kid thinks these things are free, eh? And they do it on purpose, those kids, eh? So you reach that point. You reach that point where it's not enough just to play keyboard. You must have reinvented yourself so that kings can come to your rising. Okay? If you're supposed to be a musician, for God's sakes, find a studio. Make the songs. If the songs are not good enough, you know songs that don't sell. You now know. Before that, you didn't know. Huh? Now you know songs. So, start afresh. And it's a pity that I have to use an entire session to have to take you through this. On another day, we're going to talk about the spirit realm, all those things, eh? The things that you want. But honestly, me, this thing burns in me like a fire. It burns in me. When I see someone starting something within the confines of media, there's a lady I watched called Roma Downey. She was the producer of Touched by an Angel. She was the lady in Touched by an Angel, eh? Monica. And I looked through her story. I told you I love stories. So I looked through her story. I said, what made this lady come up with 200 episodes of a Christian thing that even non-believers were looking into it? And so I looked at her story, and she said, my goal was to make people realize that God is alive, that they have a purpose, and that there's a supernatural around them. And she said, at first I tried to preach the gospel to people door to door. I realized there's a better way. So I made a series. Are you with me? Now the series ended. She's written books. One of them is called Little Angels. She's moved on to that aspect. She said, okay, how can I win these children? Make them realize that they have a purpose, that God is real. She hasn't stopped there. Series over. Now I wait for the Lord to reward me. As long as you're still breathing, you have an impact. And for me, these are the things. I get astounded at people. Someone, it looked impossible until the first episode was done. Then the second. Then you've done 200. And the world is clapping. But you know that when you were starting, you said, Lord, help me. Amen. Children of God, there is no dominion with sitting down being lazy. There is no dominion like that. It's not there. It is not there. So whether you're a chef, a media person, whether, you know, and I told you I pay attention to people who are in that world. I used to love Stephen King. Stephen King was an author, or is an author. He likes horror, dark things. Eh? And I liked it because I used to look for anything spiritual. And so I looked into his story, and his aim was to show people that the thing that they think does not exist can exist. Imagine that, just a goal like that. So his books have vampires, have what? Werewolves, have ghosts, have... And when I looked at him in the spirit, there is a spirit over him. Do you know a person unknowingly can attune themselves and grab something? And so when they write, what they have attuned shows up in their writing. Because there are many books, but you read them and just... But you read something and you even feel like the vampire is right there in your room. You see, me, I follow you, most of you people, at least if I know you, I follow you more than you know. I'm telling you, some people blocked me on their statuses. It's okay. And I know you blocked me, eh? There's someone, she's friends with my wife. Eh? So my wife saw a status and she started laughing. So I also wanted to go and see the status. Then I realized that they've blocked me. Eh? And I didn't even know they had blocked me yet. So I went to my wife, I said, God for me, I'm not seeing it. She said, they probably blocked you. I said, why are they blocking the man of God? He said, auntie, they don't want you to see certain things. What are they hiding? I follow you guys more than you know. More than you know. Your Instagrams. To see what you're doing. How far you're going. Especially if I've given you an instruction. And I say, get online. Start a YouTube video. I will always be one of the subscribers. I'm telling you, God is my witness. Especially if you have been with me. I like to watch progress. I pay very, very close attention. Because my job, our job is not just to preach. We have to get this word. It's alive. Amen. Get it in you and get you up and running. Vanange. Huh? I always check. I'm winding up. There's someone who I told, go start this. 1 year later, Rabbi, I'm in the process of starting. I said, so what does the process of starting have? Eh? Huh? Start. And this is a challenge now for many of you. The end of the year does not come when you have not gone out of your comfort zone. Amen. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out. I realized a few days ago, I started to get scared. When the Lord started to show me my future, I started to get worried. Because one time, I'd gone into the bathroom around here, and a guy was coming out, and he said, Rabbi, can I get a selfie? I said, your boss, we're in the bathroom. We're in the bathroom. That guy didn't care, man. He was like, Jack. Then another day, I was sitting around here somewhere in the compound, and a lady I did not know, there are always those dramatic people, eh? She came and she prostrated. And everyone was looking. And if you know me, you know that's not my cup of tea. So I started doing play. And the Lord whispered to me at a point and said, if this makes you uncomfortable, what about where you're going? You know? And so sometimes process needs to prepare you for certain things. I mean, on YouTube, I just have, 800-something subscribers. That means the haters who pass by, but they see there are few subscribers, they move on. But you enter 1,000s, the haters start looking. What is this guy preaching? Why are so many people following here? It's the reason why right now I can freely mention names. Lucy Smiles, what? I mean, when will it get to her? But there are some men of God who cannot do that. They get sued for saying something. So I'm honoring where I am. Because I know at a certain point in the future, I won't be able to say strive as you are. I won't be able to say that. So I honor where I am. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Know who you are and don't let anyone define you. I am not just rabbi. I'm bigger than rabbi.
Amen.
And you will see.
Amen.
Praise the living God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are you learning something? You've learned something? Huh? Huh? Go away from, don't be these people who just are such social media Christians. I don't mind you doing your social, please understand. But don't just be a social media Christian. Yo, the man of God said this, it has come to pass. You? And for me, these are the things. When I see someone doing something supernatural and it comes to pass, I say, Lord, my life, something in my life has to come to pass. I have to manifest something. Meanwhile, for you, all you do is celebrate other people's, which is okay, but it's not enough. We have too many celebrators. I'm telling you. Too many. You must shift to owning gold. Let me leave it there. Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.